Right. Important person, you'll find out.
Hit the red button.
Is this something you're writing about yourself?
Neil Abramson.
I know what Neil Abramson is.
Was.
I've studied to learn with him for 3 years.
Tell me, you're ready? You're on.
Okay, good morning. Thank you for coming. I'd like to start off this morning with a dedication to a former member of the of this year. He used to come often when he was able to. Was a personal friend and advisor to me, so I wrote up a little tribute to him. I just want to start off in memory of Nissen Ben Rebruven, Dr. Neil Abramson. So the tribute goes as follows. Noda b'sha'arim k'ish ha'mevakesh d'rvei chachma. He was known in the gates, which Chazal tells refer to the gates of Torah and the Beis Medrash, as someone who is seeking and requesting always new knowledge. He was a rofe mumcha hamizbarech b'kishonus nifla, an expert physician who was blessed with unbelievable abilities. Yadoi pashut la'azar kol elu atrichim atasa, his hand was always outstretched to help anybody who seeked his advice. V'tar panav meir la'elu habayim gitzel kenafaso, and his countenance was always shining to all those who came to be near him. Samach Devarav Biyidasov Habilti Mugbalam, he always supported his ideas with an unbelievable information base of knowledge. Vafal Pikein Samach Lulumo Devarim Chadash, unless he was always happy and excited to hear new ideas. Nishmaso Hatamima Hishpia Lachol Makir, of his pure soul influenced many people who came and recognized him. Zichro Lo Yishakech Mikol Chaver, may his memory never be forgotten from all of his friends. So to me personally, he was a great advisor and friend, and always would comment on the shiurim. Sometimes I felt he was just being a little over, too many adjectives sometimes, but when he would get to a pointed question, had a specific area that he wanted to attack me on, he never was bashful, and it was always a great source of excitement for me to discuss various matters with him. May his neshama have an aliyah. Thank you. Okay, we're going to start today with discussing a topic which is challenging from many aspects. We're going to discuss various halachas here, which Chazal tell us for a various variety of reasons are spiritually harmful. And we'll get to each one as we go along, Be'ez Hashem. Might be some comments as we go along be seemingly or contradictory. That could be. You can try to call me out on them if you catch them. I'll try my best to put through some common thread from a consensus of many of the contemporary Paiskim. So we're going to start with the Gemara in Harius. I'm going to paraphrase a lot of the Gemara. We're not going to focus on all these cases because that would just stick us with one Gemara for the whole day. So we're going to try just to focus on one of the concepts here. The Gemara here is discussing five things that a person, if you eat them, it causes his learning to be forgotten. Now, it seems that the poskim understand this Gemara to particularly be talking about Torah study. We're not talking about a person who will forget his birthplace and a social security number and other things like that. We're primarily focusing here on you eat these items, they will be caused to forget Torah learning. The first thing the Gemara says, if a person eats from food that was bitten into already by a mouse or from a cat, that's the first category. The second category of food is someone who eats from a heart of an animal. The third thing, which we're going to focus on shortly, is someone who eats olives. The fourth thing the Gemara says is someone who drinks water that was left over after bathing. The fifth thing the Gemara says is someone who washes their feet one on top of the other. Obviously, that's talking about someone who, not in the Beis HaMikdash, because the Kohanim had a specific commandment to wash like that when they wash from the Kiyar. We're talking about here a regular individual should not stack his feet one on top of the other. Again, we're not going to be able to focus on all these things. The Gemara then concludes, V'yesha Omrim, there's another, a sixth thing that some say, even someone, Af HaManiach Kelov Tachas Me'ashosov, someone who puts his garments, his vessels, under his head when he goes to sleep. And then the Gemara goes on. There are five things that bring back a person's learning, that help retain Torah study. We're just going to focus on one of them, which is underlined, which is someone who's customary, haragil b'shem en zayis, someone who's accustomed to drinking olive oil. The Gemara then concludes at the end, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that just like olives, a person eats olives, it causes him to forget learning of 70 years, so too someone who eats, ingests olive oil will bring back his learning of 70 years. So again, this Gemara is telling us very cryptic idea, seemingly not something which necessarily is scientifically proven or needs to be proven necessarily. It's just telling us there are five things that Chazal telling us or warning us not to eat just because it'll cause us to forget our learning, and five things which are good for memory aids. And the Gemara concludes with, the olives will erase 70 years of learning, and olive oil will bring back 70 years of learning. So just the first thing I want to discuss, which I don't want to, just caught my attention as I was preparing the shiur, as a positive thing to eat, according to some. In source number two, there's a sefer called Ma'aseh V'chol HaMachanos, which is a tremendous encyclopedic work on just the first 40 or so chapters of Aruch Chaim, written slightly before World War II by a Munkach Chassid. And he first quotes an opinion that expanded this Gemara to include, not only is it not a person should not eat the heart of an animal, but also should not eat from the brains or the liver of an animal. And he sources it in Kabbalistic writings that it'll be inappropriate. However, that was not quoted in the Gemara. And I found in source number three, in a tshuva written by Rabbi Nasha Klein, a Hungarian Rav who survived the war. He was the Rav of the city of Ungvar, and that's where he established his Beis Medrash Ungvar and Borough Park in Eretz Yisrael after the war. He brings down, which was, I'm not sure where he got this from. I invite anybody to share with me any other source, that on the contrary, liver is customary to eat. All the Chassidei Baal Shem Tov, he says, all Tamidei Baal Shem Tov always ate liver on Shabbos Kodesh, and therefore Chas V'Shalom to say that liver would be something which would be harmful in a spiritual sense. Again, he's not discussing this from a gashmistic sense. I don't know the source of this per se, except this was just a quotable quote. I decided I wanted to share with everybody that there's halachic reason to eat liver Shabbos morning. I'm sure the caterers would appreciate that halacha. Okay, but focusing primarily on what we're going to discuss, things which are known to be spiritually harmful. So one of the things the Gemara said was a person who's customary to eat olives. Okay, so we'll start with source number four. That's the notes of the Yavetz in the back of the Gemara Masechtas Harietz. And the Yavetz says a very short sentence. He says, Harogel b'zeisim, nearly, it appears to me, says the Yavetz, dafka chayin. That's only if they're going to be raw olives. As opposed to if a person eats pickled or olives that have been soaking in liquid for more than 24 hours, they're beneficial. And he quotes a Gemara in Yevamos, which recounts a story of certain Amoraim or Tanoim were sending presents of olives one to the other. So he says right away, the Gemara says olives, it only means exactly what it says. Olives means pure raw olives. Once you pickle them or do something to treat them or process them, so to speak, it'll take you out of this concern of something that'll cause you to forget your learning.
Freshly picked,
that's what the Gemara is talking about according to the Ayavitz. Again, the Ayavitz says only talking about fresh olives. Now, I don't know about you, but that's to me is a rarity. I don't know, it's very hard to find fresh olives in your local supermarket. Most of the time you buy olives, you think they grow in a can or in a jar. That's the way we're used to them.
The way they grow in a jar?
Right, that's what I think. Right, so that's always going to be what we call halachically would be considered pickled, because even though there might not be a pickled flavoring technically, but sitting in that liquid for more than 24 hours would give it the status of kevushim in halacha, which is pickled, what we translate, or soaked for 24 hours. So according to the Yavetz, again, we're going to go through various opinions here. According to the Yavetz, that would not be a concern from the Gemara. In source number five of fascinating Magen Avraham. Now it's interesting, this Gemara is not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch does not quote. The Shulchan Aruch has many halachos about what is allowed and not allowed to eat. Does not discuss this Gemara at all, the Shulchan Aruch. However, the Magen Avraham in Aruch Chaim quotes this Gemara, and I bracket it off, he says, these things that the Gemara says cause a person to forget, on the second line he says, Ein ze ela ba'am ha'aretz. That's only by an ignoramus who eats these foods. Someone who eats it with intention, with proper kavana, as it's known. We're not talking about here as like he has an olive diet per se. That we mean here kavana like kabbalistic intentions, as we'll get to more in a moment. Then the Magen Avraham says, "Maisifin laizechira." It adds to him remembrance. Kihu mesakin oisa, by having these kabbalistic intentions. Magen Avraham says you're being mesakin olives. So you're somehow spiritually uplifting the olives by having these secret kabbalistic incantations recited over your olives. He's not just referring to a regular bracha, and that would take out of this concern of the Gemara. So first of all, we have the Yavetz who says they have to be particularly kavush. It has to be raw. If they're kavush, if they're pickled, if they're seasoned, he says they would not be of concern. Number two, we have the Magen Avraham who's saying this all concern is only by an Ama Aretz, but someone who is trained and knows the innermost kavanas that a person could have when he eats them, no problem. But then he says, be very careful about the heart, and he concludes with a fascinating halacha, which again, I don't know much more about, more than what it says here. It's at the end of the Magen Avraham, it says, V'hari Arizal hayo'ochal isvei hamidbarios, who would eat wild grasses, she'ein nizrayim ade adam, that were not planted by people, l'kayim, to fulfill the pasuk that was said to Adam Rishon, that Adam Rishon was cursed, v'achalta esev hasodeh. I don't know if Brussels sprouts goes into this or other funny things they sell nowadays in health food stores. I don't know what would constitute this halacha, but the Arizal would eat wild grass.
I was on a trip this past summer, and we went on a jeep right up into the mountains, right, and this guy pointed out this grass. They said when they didn't have food, he said they were poor, they would boil up and make soup from it.
Okay, so maybe he has a... Okay, there you go. Well, that's the Arizal's diet. I'm not sure. I don't know more about it. But okay, but we're going to take out from now, the Magen Avraham is saying that the... olives are only if you're an Amoretz and if you're not well versed in Kabbalistic teachings of olives. Now,
Amoretz makes you forget, and if you're Tamil and if you're doing Kavod, it helps you to remember.
Right. Now, okay, I'm not explaining the whys here. This is not we're just saying what's
raw or
doesn't say. It doesn't make a difference, right? It doesn't make a distinction. In source number 6, which is a tshuva from Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, tshuva Salmas Chaim, where here the questioner, I forgot what his name was. It says in the sefer, I forgot who it was, but. The questioner obviously was a Talmud Chacham, and he did us the favor of recording in the Sefer the question that he asked with the Kavanas. Meaning, so he sends Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld the question and says, I have this Magen Avraham, and I was taught these secret Kabbalistic teachings, how to transform the olives to be beneficial. And he writes it down. You have certain names of Hashem in mind with their gematria in Atbash. Okay, you can figure it out on your own how it works out exactly. It was challenging for me to figure that out. He says, if you have all these kavanas, should I do this or not? I like olives, I guess the guy was asking. And I learned the secret. And he writes out the secret, how it is you can have these proper intentions. Should I do this? Could I eat this or not? This is what he asked Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, the Rav of Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld on the top of the left column responds and says, first of all, he was very upset that he wrote down in the letter all the Shemus HaKadoshim, because now that letter has to be treated with the utmost respect. I have to make sure that, you know, proper Shemus and all the things. You know, he says, first of all, I'm upset at you that you wrote down all these things. This is not supposed to be written down in a way like this, where the letter might get in a way of bizayon, might be a disgrace. But at the end of the paragraph, he says, L'inyan Hadin, Halacha, he paskins, Ein Roy Lahargabal Zed, don't do this. But Mashem Refuish Peshas, that which the Gemara says, Umikoshke and Yane Shikha, because maybe you're going to be transgressing the verse of Hishama Lacha Pentishkach. The Pasuk says we have a positive commandment to do things to make sure we don't forget our Torah knowledge. Whatever we know, we're supposed to do whatever we can to retain our Torah knowledge. So he says if you're going to get involved eating these olives, although you have, so to speak, the trick up your sleeve of the Kabbalistic intentions, it's not worth it because if you don't, probably, the way I'm understanding it, if you don't do it 100% accurately, the recipe you're setting yourself up for a recipe for disaster. But what he says, what should you do? Avol, the last line says, Yochal osam in shemen zayis, eat the olives together with olive oil. For us, matov v'cham. Then also have this intention in mind, your Kabbalistic intention, because again, the Gemara said olive oil is meishiv limuda shel shivim shana. So again, the question was, could he just rely on these Kabbalistic incantations by itself? Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld says, don't do it, but put it with olive oil. Now you have a recipe for success, because anyway, if you've diffused the spiritual danger of the olives, because they're only going to be in a state where they're by themselves. Once you have the olive oil, that's the antidote, according to this, for the challenge, for the problem of the olives that will cause you to forget your learning. And this is also, if you want for extra credit, have your Kabbalistic intentions in mind.
Doesn't every olive have oil in it?
Okay, fair enough. Maybe until it's excreted, we don't give it that status, perhaps. No, I thought about that. I'm not sure. This is, again,
maybe
it's hard to...
just to drink olive oil.
Just drink olive oil plain, but now you're going to have... Your salad's going to be a little bland. You want to have olives in your delicious salad.
You put the olive oil in your liver.
Right.
Then it helps out.
For sure, you're in good shape. Okay.
Is olive oil itself a mazik? You don't say a bracha.
Well, that's a different question, right? You have to eat it with some other ingredients. That's a question in Hilchos Brachos and Gemara Brachos. Yeah. Right. Okay. But olive oil, I guess, however you're able to ingest it in a not even a little bit. Okay. The Gemara discussed in a different place that this is from a, not from a spiritual perspective, but from a gashmiyistik perspective, the Gemara talks about this, it's dangerous for the body just to ingest pure olive oil. So if you mix it with other fruits or other foods, then that diffuses that any physical harm that it might cause.
Was this shayla about pickled olives?
No, it doesn't make any distinction. Now let's get back to that in a minute. The in this next page, in source number 7, I've copied from the Sefer Zikaron, which is written by Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, a tremendous work that he did for us in his encyclopedic knowledge of Torah, where he compiled the whole Sefer, one part dedicated to discussing every place where Chazal say don't eat something because it's dangerous for your Torah learning, and certain places where Chazal say do something that'll help your memory learning. It's a great work, a lot of fun to read through it. So I copied out part of the paragraphs where he discusses olives particularly. First of all, in the first paragraph on the right side, he quotes the Gemara, and then he says, he brings Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya, Rishon al Torah, says, why is it that the olives cause a person to forget learning? I'm not going to explain it, I'm just going to read it and translate it. It says, Ilan Zayas Ein Loy Lev, a olive tree doesn't have a heart. Sounds like a little bit of like something else, a familiar movie that some of us might be familiar with from back in the day, things that don't have a heart, represent certain things, I don't know. Because it doesn't have a heart, the tree, it affects the fruit, and it causes us, in our own heart, it stuffs up our spiritual heart and stops us from learning. Again, I don't know what a heart of a tree is. I'm not a botanist or an arborist or anything like that, so I don't really know my trees, but the Rabbeinu Bachya seems to say that that would affect the fruits because it doesn't have a heart, and that's maybe the reason why Chazal said, don't eat the olives. In the next paragraph, he quotes the Yavetz, which we quoted before, about pickled olives would not be a problem, and he says he wants to argue. And a couple lines down in the bottom right paragraph, he says, Umatsasi bin Me'iri Baharias, I found the Me'iri is a Rishon, and Harias who writes, Shekasav Behedya writes explicitly, the Zaysim Maluchim Kasha Meshucha, even pickled, even salted and processed olives would also have this concern of forgetting your learning. And therefore, he says, also based on Rabbeinu Bachya's reason, that the reason why olives are harmful is because the tree doesn't have a heart. And so that wouldn't make a difference if the olives are pickled or the olives are salted or anything else. Wouldn't make a difference. It's an olive is a problem, unless it's olive oil when it's extracted. But as long as it's not extracted, it says Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, that according to him, which should be concerned, and he therefore suggests not being, again, the Gemara said rugil. I didn't discuss this yet now, but it's a good time to discuss. So what does it mean, rugel? Someone who's common. So he discusses somewhere else with Chaim Kanievsky that rugel means once in 30 days. So if a person occasionally has a salad with olives in it, or olive salad particularly, even according to the strictest of opinions, that wouldn't be a problem. It's only someone who's common, has it once a month, part of his regular monthly regimen, that would be a problem of this concern of kasha shikha. But if a person only has it once or twice a year, then for sure it wouldn't be a problem. So again,
is it only olive trees that don't have the heart?
I don't know. Ask your local Orthodox botanist or arborist or whoever they are, gardener, who might know these things. I don't know. But okay, so we have Rav Chaim, we have Machlekes and Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita and the Yavetz, whether or not when the Gemara says olives, it means only pure olives, raw olives, or even olives that are treated or pickled, etc. And then he brings further on the left column, he says, at the end of the paragraph, or the first paragraph, he says, olives are always, he says, it's very uncommon to find olives. He says, he brings rise from Chazal, even in times of Chazal, whenever they ate olives, they were always pickled or processed or whatever, however they did it in those days. No one ever really ate raw olives. So he says, of course, whenever the Gemara says olives, it means even pickled and processed. And therefore, again, he's proving his point, not like the Yavetz. And then he says, in the last paragraph on the left side, he says, he's seen brought down that some people say if you eat it with olive oil, like we said before, it diffuses any spiritual harm that the olives might cause. Chaim Kanievsky says, "Ve'eno nir lanias daiti." I don't agree with that. He says, because every person's temperament, every person's makeup is different, and every person's memory is going to work differently. So you can have olives might be take away all your learning, so to speak, chas v'shalom, and then the olive oil might only bring back 10% of your learning. It's good, meaning the olives take away learning, and olive oil brings back learning. But who says, Chaim Kanievsky asks, that the measurements are the same? The olives might percentages are the same. Who the olive might make you forget 60% of your learning, and the olive oil might only bring back 20%, or however the percentages might work. So he says we cannot apply this halachic formula, says Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, to allow you to eat the olives just because you mixed in olive oil. So bottom line, according to Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, olives, no matter what stage they're in, whether they're pickled or processed or raw, are kosher l'shicha, and even if you mix it with olive oil, he does not recommend eating them because who says that the percentages will balance each other out? Right. So he says exactly. So we don't know. So if you ruggle, anytime you ruggle, you're accustomed to having olives.
Why eating more olives than oil or more olives?
We don't know. That's what he's saying.
Why is that going to matter? The Gemara didn't say that.
Fine. So that's all he's saying is that we don't know the percentage. So you can't say, well, I'll tell you an equation. I'll balance out the olives with the olive oil.
For every. Just
one drop, you're saying. Okay. There are those that are going to agree with you in a moment. That's what Chaim Kanievsky. Yeah.
So, but at this point, olive oil mixed in with other things, taking into account our brachos. So if you mix it with other things, olive oil would only be positive.
Right. Olive oil by itself would only be positive. Right. Okay. However, if we take a look, we're just expanding the machlokes a little bit. We have Rav Chaim Kanievsky, we have on one side, and we have the other side of Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld saying that you could use olive oil. Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal and brought down the Sefer Alicha Shlomo. He was first discussing, I just cut and paste some of the pieces over there. He wasn't discussing olives at first per se. He was discussing other halachas that the pais can bring down, that when a person gets dressed in the morning, they shouldn't put on two articles of clothing at the same time. Some people might find that challenging anyway, but even if you could, you shouldn't do it because it's kasha l'shikcha. The price can bring down. So he was asked, how about taking off two articles of clothing at the same time? Could a person take off a shirt, an undershirt, whatever it is, two articles of clothing at the same time? And Rav Shlomo Zalman said, relax. We have whatever chazal or the we have a pi kabbalah specific things. Don't go ahead and expand this repertoire of things that might be kasha l'shikcha. It's enough what chazal told us, and don't blow it out of proportion. And then in the footnotes there on the left side, he says, Umitam Zeh, he says, he was upset about some people were against the minig to mix olive oils with olives. And a couple lines down, he says, Mishum Deman Yemer, because they said, who said that they're going to be equal? He said, Zeh Einoi. Rishon Mizalman said, it's not true. The Kiva, this is a very important insight. I'm going to read the words. The Kiva and the Dvarim Halalu, Sguliyim Heim, since this whole concept is completely spiritual, completely above the regular realm of logic, we cannot put in our own logic, our own intellect, to start telling us different things. Let the Jews have this custom. Since this is the custom that it's mutter in this sense, and this was the custom of the Yerushalayim Yidden for many, many generations, you don't have to be concerned about it. And he says, since Chazal told us this thing is, the olive oil is positive and olives are negative, if you have olive oil, it diffuses any concern with your olives. And he says, therefore, he's arguing with Chaim Kanievsky and says, no problem, mix your olives with olive oil. And then he was asked, the next line says, someone did not appreciate the flavor of olive oil. Asked him, how much olive oil do you have to put in with the olives? He said, one drop is sufficient. So that's Rav Hillel was mechaven to that. So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman and according to Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, you can eat your olives for sure, no problem, if they're mixed with olive oil. And I heard this from my first shlita as well, from Chicago. He said, this is the way we can go, la halacha, we can pass like Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld. And he added that Baal Peh, Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, was not specifically discussing olives per se, but discussing other things which we'll get to as we go along, but Chazal tell us that they are harmful. Spiritually, we only take the words of Chazal exactly as they said it. Anytime it's slightly changed, slightly altered from the way Chazal said it, it's not considered a sakana at all anymore. And therefore, he was of the opinion that you could align this with Shlomo Zalman and Rav Chaim Zonnefeld, and he felt that even Rav Moshe would probably have agreed to it as well, even though he wasn't discussing it exactly, that if you take the olives and either if you pickle them, or if you mix them with oil, or anything that's changed them in a way that's not exactly regular plain olives, then he would say there would not be a concern of being kosher l'shikcha. That's category one. He explained it was that Chazal said zeisim, and Chazal were always very exact in their words. Now, Chaim Kanievsky said we see other places where zeisim could also possibly include pickled and salted, etc. But he says, we see from other Gemaras, as we'll get to, that Chazal, when they warned things about sakana, they said very specific formula how it is, and whenever they wanted to make an exception, they spoke out or make a point of doing something specifically. They made a point. For example, we'll get to food under the bed, and we'll get to radishes and onions and eggs in a minute. With those halachas, where Chazal went out of their way to be very specific about it, so where Chazal, meaning, again, let me just make sure I'm saying this correctly, where Chazal did not tell us a specific, also be chayish, also be concerned for all these cases, that means that only in the purest sense that were they concerned, and they weren't concerned for any slight modification of the olive in its purest sense. Okay, yeah, no problem. You're allowed, you have a lot of support. I'm just telling you, but this is how I first passed him from Chicago. So you have at least, Rav Chaim Kanievsky is more in agreement with you. You have good support. Okay, that's stage one. But it's important to note that this whole halacha, although it's discussed in the Paiskim, in the Sfarim, is not even Shulchan Aruch based. The Shulchan Aruch does not discuss this halacha about the olives at all. The next category we're going to discuss is a halacha which is going to be codified in the Shulchan Aruch. Source number 9, the Gemara in Pesachim tells us, Tana, it's a short two-line Gemara, Oichlenu mashkin tachas habita, food and drink under a bed, afilu mechupim bekli barzel. So here the Gemara went out of its way to emphasize, even if it's sealed in a metal vessel, iron, whatever it is, ruach rosh shoyralein, an evil spirit hovers over that food. Now, the Gemara doesn't say if we could eat it, can eat it, what happens if you eat it. The Gemara just says it has this ruach rosh, this bad spirit, I don't know how to translate that any other way, comes onto the food. So Rabbi Kivega on that Gemara, Rashi doesn't really explain anything on the Gemara over there. Rabbi Kivega tells you, look in the Sefer Teres Chaim in Shavuos, it says Daf Tes, but it's a printed mistake, should be Daf Tes Vav. And Teres Chaim, who is an Achron, explains this Gemara. So I did us the favor and put it on the paper. So in source number 10, The Taras Chaim on the Gemara on Shavuos says as follows: Venira, Tahainu de'isa b'psachim. What's understanding of the Gemara b'psachim that oichlan tachas amita ruach ra shari aleim? Why? Lefisha hashina echad mishishim b'misahi. Sleep is 1/60th of death, as the Gemara Brachas tells us. Kivan de neshmasa yaitza. Since a person's soul leaves him on some level when he goes to sleep, therefore it's like akin to some level of death, and therefore when you're being mahil, when you're hovering over your bed or you're on your bed at night, it's like you're hovering over anything that's under your bed, and that evil spirit that comes when the neshama temporarily leaves a person while he's sleeping negatively affects food. So that's how the Taras Chaim and
drinks?
Food and drink, according to the Gemara.
So
yeah.
Can you put it on the shelf above your
bed? Above the bed, yeah. We're not only discussing under the bed now. Under the bed. We'll get to more details in a moment about it. So just step one, the Gemara says under the bed, Ruach Ra, and the way Rabbi Kivager is explaining it based on the Sefer Taras Chaim is that it's because when a person sleeps, his neshama temporarily leaves him, and that's a certain level of tumah, and that tumah only affects food or drink, does not affect, you can have your shoes under your bed, or I don't know, an extra blanket, whatever it is. That's not what we're discussing. We're discussing only a problem on food or drink items.
On a bed that you're sleeping on.
Exactly. So far, according to this explanation, we said it's only on a bed you're sleeping on. If you would store it under, you have a bed that no one in the house uses, an extra bed, then according to this pshat, it'll be no problem. Although the Gemara said under a bed, the way the Taras Chaim is explaining it, it's only if you're going to sleep. Or let's say you store something under a bed during the daytime hours, and before you go to sleep, you take the food out. That would not be a concern as well, based on this opinion of the Taras Chaim. Not everyone agrees to this, but that's the way we're going to say it right now, because that's the way that most of the Paiskim go with that.
Using that under him and get a bottle of water
next to your bed, right? Only talking
I mean,
under.
No, like on you or something. That wouldn't be effective. You're saying under your bed.
Maybe according to some. Hold on. But at least according to this right now, only under the bed. If it's just next to your bed, or even if it's on your bed next to you, and somehow it stays there the whole night, you don't move when you're asleep or anything, that also seemingly would not be a problem. And this halacha is codified on Shulchan Aruch. It's in the middle, in source 11, in the middle of Sif Hei and Yeradeh Kuf Tazayin. Halfway down the paragraph, it says, Lo'yiting tafshil, your person should not put a tafshil. Now keep in mind, the Gemara said oichlin, food, and the Shulchan Aruch says tafshil. Tafshil is usually referring to a cooked food. And we'll see in a minute if this makes a distinction or not. You shouldn't put a cooked food for lo'imashkim or a drink, tachas amita, b'nei sheruach ra, shayra aleim, because an evil spirit falls upon it. Now again, Shulchan Aruch doesn't say, now what? So what an evil spirit fell upon it? We all know that in the morning, we wash Negel Vasa, we wash our hands in the morning, because also this idea of Ruach Ra. Once we wash our hands, though, we're good to go, so to speak. So our hands become, they're in a temporary state of a problem in the morning, we wash it off. So what happens to this food that's under the bed? Does it become Aser? The Shulchan Aruch didn't say it's Aser, the Gemara didn't say it's Aser. It just said that there's this Ruach Ra, this evil spirit upon it. So the Pischei Tshuva in Shulchan Aruch, which is source number 12, found on the page in the Bible in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a compilation of various responsim referring to the halachas of the Shulchan Aruch. In Sifkat in Dalid, which is at the end of the left side over there, it says, V'yitein, he quotes a Tshuvas Shvus Yaakov, one of the Achroinim, who says that this all halacha is only a warning to be careful. Meaning you should not use it as a storage place for food. But if a person ended up by mistake or whatever, he put food under his bed and he realizes the next morning, according to the Pischei Tshuva, according to Shvus Yaakov, it is permissible to eat the food. The food does not become usher. And Rabbi Kivager, I didn't put on the page, Rabbi Kivager in his notes on Shulchan Aruch quotes Shvus Yaakov as well. So again, we have, although the Gemara says it's Ruach Rosh Harleh and something bad spirit is upon the food, but the Paiskim so far is saying that that's only l'chatchila, a person shouldn't do it for some spiritual bad reasons. But the food does not become forbidden to eat. However, in the following Pischei Tshuva and Sifkat and Hay, he quotes from the Sefer Bina Sodom, which is in the back of the Chachma Sodom, a student of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, and he brings the name of the Vilna Gaon, that first of all, although the Shulchan Aruch says tafshil, cooked food, doesn't make a difference if it's cooked or not, because the Gemara said oichlin, any food, so even if it's a raw piece of food, says the Vilna Gaon, it's still going to be usher. And furthermore, he says, the food becomes usher, you have to throw it to a place where no one could find it. So the Vilna Gaon was very machmer in this halacha. Number one, he said, although the Shulchan Aruch says cooked food, it applies to raw food as well, which is a simple reading of the Gemara. And secondly, the Vilna Gaon was of the opinion that the food must be discarded and it cannot be eaten. It's dangerous for us to eat it. However, the Sefer Bina Sadon, the Chacha Sadon, concludes that However, Kivon, the Doshu Bei Rabin, we have this principle that since the masses tread upon already, we have a principle of Shemir Psayim Hashem. We discussed this once in a different shir. There's a principle, although sometimes the Gemara says certain things are sakana, but if it became already commonplace, then that sakana is pushed to the side, and it's a question of how that developed. But once it developed, once we're in that stage that it's developed, people have done it, and therefore we go back to the principle of Shemir Psayim Hashem. We don't have to be concerned about it, and therefore, even though the Chachmas Adam is quoting the Vilna Gaon is being strict about it, even the Chachmas Adam himself is giving forth a kula. And this is codified as well in the Aruch HaShulchan. And he brings down the halacha, and then he concludes and says, "The achshav ein is harmizeh." We don't have to be careful about it. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, the end of source 13. V'shomer psayim Hashem kivan the dashu beram. Since many people shred upon it already. Now, I was thinking about it. I didn't see anybody discuss this per se, but perhaps this was only common in Europe or in situations before we have the pantry and modern refrigeration and freezers like we have today. I think in most of our modern settings, in our homes, in our apartments, wherever we live, we have much more space than probably, I'm assuming, than the standard person had in Europe and their smaller type of settings. That's my assumption. And it's not common for us to store food in bedrooms, particularly under beds. We store our food in our pantry. Sometimes people have an extra storage in their garage or in their basement, whatever it is, in storage rooms. Most people, I think, don't store food in their bed anymore, under the bed. They put it in the fridge, freezer, or again, or the pantry. So perhaps, again, I didn't see this discussed in the Paiskim, although 100 or so years ago, the Paiskim were saying, or 200 years ago, the Paiskim were saying that it's common to keep food under the bed, therefore we don't have to worry about the concern anymore. But maybe today, we don't store food under the bed anymore. And therefore, well, in camp, right? But in most places, where you don't store food anymore, maybe this halacha should revert, that it should be a problem, perhaps. I'm just raising that as a question. But nonetheless, be it as it may, the Shvus Yaakov, the Pische Tshuva quotes, and Kivega quotes this as well, says the food is mutter b'dieved. Now, in source 14, I just quoted a little more of that's the Binas Adam that the Pische Tshuva was quoting. We don't go through the whole thing, but he says basically that idea we just spoke out, that the Vilna Gaon was machmer on it, but and even on raw food, but the Binas Adam himself says many people are makel. Now, I did some research into what the Vilna Gaon held according to his primary students. So there's a sefer called Maaser Rav, which is source 15, which is a compilation of the main students of the Vilna Gaon writing different actions they saw the Vilna Gaon did in practice. And over there, in source 15 on the right side, in the paragraph, the bottom of paragraph Tzadi Zayin, they write, the last line and a half there, it says, Gam hichmir ma'oid ma'oichlin umashkin shetachas amita. The Vilna Gaon, as was quoted before, was very, very strict when it came to food or drink being under the bed. And here they quote a great story, which is related to what Brian asked before, that it was once by a Purim Suda by the Vilna Gaon, and it says that Tzadik Reb Zalman, I assume it means Reb Zalman Volozhiner, Reb Chaim Volozhiner's brother, had fallen asleep by the Purim table. And as he was sleeping, dozing off by the Purim table, somebody brought the Vilna Gaon Mishloach Manis, some citron and tapuchim. Tapuchim are apples. I'm not exactly sure what citron is. If anybody knows, I'll be happy to hear. Citron, I don't know, some citrin, type, maybe some type of fruit, right? It could be some type of lemon and apples for Shleach Manis. And as Reb Zalman Volozhiner was sleeping on the table, he by mistake, in his sleep, he touched the food. So now, before we said that has to be under the bed because the ruach shayra, like a person who, when he's, so to speak, his neshama leaves him when he's just like 1/60th of death. But here the Vilna Gaon saw Reb Zalman in his sleep, in his Purim sleep, on the table, touch the food, and Vitziva Admor, the Vilna Gaon paskin lachtechay some dak to chop up that food very finely and to throw it to a place, the Beis Akisei, to a place where no one could ever eat it. Kadesh la yimta achav yochel, that order that no one will find it. He says, don't even give it to a guy, because if you give it to a guy, it might end up, again, the guy might sell to a Jew. So therefore, the Vilna Gaon was very, very machmir on this halacha. We see nothing to do with a bed, just the fact that a sleeping person touched it was enough for him to be concerned, and he said the food cannot be eaten.
So suddenly he's finding the criteria like Tumas Meis.
Very similar to Tumas Meis, to the extreme. However, in source 16, which is Kesa HaRosh, which is from Chaim Volozhiner, also a Talmud of Vilna Gaon, he writes, again, the same idea in the beginning, that the Vilna Gaon was very machmir, but then he concludes, ach, the last three words, la'achayrim hikil. Although the Vilna Gaon was very strict about this halacha, but that was only for his personal practice. When it came, however, to other people who would ask him the shayla, he was lenient and let other people eat the food. So again, although we have the Vilna Gaon being very machmir, nonetheless, even the Vilna Gaon himself was mekel when it came to sharing the food with for other people if they would ask him the question. So again, we have the Gemara saying that the food becomes ruach ra. We explain it has to do with idea of tumas meis. What happens now that the person did it? Could he eat the food or not? We have many paiskim. Pischei Tshuva, Kivega, according to Shvus Yaakov, said it's mutter b'dieved, the Vilna Gaon being machmir. But after we went through various opinions of the Vilna Gaon, even the Vilna Gaon himself was only a personal chumrah, but not that it should paskin for everybody else, that it should be usher. Yeah.
But you said the mice about the apple and the citron, they wouldn't let anybody eat it.
Well, in his own house, you know, it's his house.
Don't give it to the guy because he could eat it later.
Okay, he didn't. I guess from his own house, he didn't want the food should get passed around, so to speak. But if you would have asked him from your own house, by the way they're explaining it, I'm understanding it, that would have said, okay, you can eat it. You know, it's a madrega, so to speak. He felt on his madrega, the Vilna Gaon didn't want this to disseminate from his house. But for other people, he would make it.
To what degree would he throw away the food? If you touched directly an apple, or if you touched a plate that the apple was on, and then...
That's a good question. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, the Gemara did say even if it's sealed in a metal box, it still would contract the Ruach Ra.
About underneath, not
right.
If you're sleeping on the thing and just...
I'm not sure. I can't say. I'm not sure. I can't say for sure which way he said. Yeah, for sure.
Does everybody agree that it has to do with Tumas Mace?
No. But that is the most place. That's what Chaim asked before, because if you don't go with Tumas Mace, then if you go literally just read the words of the Gemara, you can't put food under a bed. That means even if no one slept on the bed, there are some Paiskim who are very machmir, even just putting the food under the bed, it became problematic. Even if you take it out 5 minutes later, so to speak, it would become contaminated already. And I don't know how to explain that. Paiskim don't really, most of the Paiskim, the way I saw it at least, don't go with that mahalach, but some do. So that would be even more strict. But the most, where Kivager explained on the Gemara, they said, look in the Taras Chaim, that's how we learned the Gemara, that has to do particularly with this idea of Tumas Mace. That's where the Ruach Ruach comes from.
Even if you hold by Tumas Mace, I mean, what's the prohibition of eating food that became Tameh?
Excellent question. I don't know. Typically, you're allowed to eat Tameh food. Here, there's something particular about a Ruach Ruach, right? You're right. If you look in Hilchos Tum and Tahara, we don't find that prohibition, unless someone who's always careful to eat his food but Tahara, like people on a higher Madrega, fine. But the regular standard person is allowed to eat Tameh Tikka food. You are correct. But this is something particular about a Ruach Ruach. I don't know. Yeah.
That's
a question.
The
right.
Halachah tells us what the consequences of doing it here. We don't really know what happens.
Right, right. We don't know. It's kind of up for a spooky discussion. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Is this Tumayla as a Rakiya sitting for something above the base?
No, the Gemara doesn't say that. We only take what the Gemara says. This is under.
Under, right.
Right, so if you have a shelf on top of your bed, let's say we're going to get to a minute, a bunk bed, we'll get to in a minute. Yeah.
Yeah, but the bed will block it anyway.
In America, we don't flip our mattresses, but back in the old country, you flip the mattress back and forth, you know, it's often.
Right.
So,
what does that do there? What are you asking? Only discussing food problems.
Right. So, stop. You put the mattress, you sleep on the mattress,
right.
There's this raw crop.
Right.
So, is it associated with the actual spot where the bed is, or is it attached to the mattress, or is it. Because
I don't know. I'm not a PhD in Ruach Ruach. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I can't tell you.
The mattress upside down.
Yeah.
Is that Ruach Ruach still have a.
Well, because now maybe the food on top of the bed should be a problem.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. I can't tell you.
Would it be different if it's double wrapped or anything?
Seemingly not at the coin to the, at this point. Yeah. Right. And right. That goes back to who's asking. Yeah. But okay. In source 17, we have again from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He was also went in this idea of the Vilna going to be very machmir with food that was placed on their bed. He would say to throw it out and not use it at all. And it's interesting, he said this also applies to vitamins, because this is an interesting discussion. What's the status of vitamins? Are vitamins food or vitamins medicine? So he learns that vitamins are like food. This has other ramifications in kashrus as well. And therefore, he says you can't keep your vitamins under your bed as well. But when it comes to medicines, regular pills, or even liquid medicine, pill medicine, then he said that would not be a problem. That's not food. That's like putting your shoes under your bed. You could put your pills and have them ready for the morning right under your bed. But vitamins, of Shlomo Zalman said, you should not keep under your bed. That was something interesting. Then he also discussed about bunk beds. People asked, was there a concern for the person sleeping on the bottom bunk? Should he be concerned about the fact there's a Ruach Ruach coming down upon him from the person sleeping on top? Shlomo Zalman said, no. That only, again, the Ruach Ruach here only affects food. You should not put food on the bottom bunk if someone's sleeping on the top bunk. But for a person to sleep on the bottom bunk, he held it was not a problem. But again, you shouldn't put food there or put food on the bed underneath it. Well, the Paisim discuss, I didn't really bring this down here, but the Paisim discuss as well, what about under a baby carriage or under when you're flying on an airplane, all these type of questions. So there, the Paisim are primarily, for the most part, are makel, because there it's not something which is designated particularly for sleep. And the Gemara said mita, and we're only going to take it more at face value, and therefore most of the places are going to be mako when it comes to any other. If you say you have an easy chair and you took a nap on the easy chair during the day and there was food under the easy chair, again, many of the places will be mako. In the Rivei Sefraim, in source 18, he quotes from the Chazon Ish, and he brings the Chazon Ish said again, which is similar to what Reb Chaim asked before. Only at the time, I'm just bringing from here that you see that only the Paiskim are going with this idea that has to do with this tumah of sleeping, because it says only when someone sleeps on the bed. I saw a further quote in the name of the Chazon Ish by Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita. He brings down that the Chazon Ish would tell people You know, it's a problem. Some places don't want to say you shouldn't eat it, but some places say you're allowed to eat it. He would suggest donating it to a local food pantry, give it to the aniyim, because since there are many places where it's permissible to eat, there's no reason why you have to throw the food out. If you yourself want to be concerned not to eat it, okay, but it's still kosher food, so make sure you give it to a place where it'll be used properly and not just discarded. I saw in the writings in the Shulchan Alevi, which is Rav Belsky's Atzal, he writes that of course the halacha is going to be that you should not lechatchila put food under your bed as a Shulchan Aruch paskins. However, he says, unless you have a particular custom to follow the Vilna Gaon, you do not have to be machmer, and you do not have to asur the food. And he says, listen to the words he writes, ki kfar yatza mipi rabban shal Yisrael, it already was emitted from the mouth of the Rav of Klal Yisrael, Rabbeinu Akiva Eger. Like we said before, Akiva Eger says it's going to be mutter, ubevadai, says Rabelski, la yuzak shum adam aydei achilasa. If Akiva Eger said it's mutter, then it cannot be that any person will have any damage happen to him, ki, because the pasuk in the Mishlei says, lo yeune letzadik kol avay, no mishap, no problem will come through a tzadik. And therefore, says Rabelski, if Rabbi Kivager said it's mutter b'dieved, which Rabbi Kivager was one of the paiskim, I didn't put it on the paper, but he was one of the paiskim who quoted before the Shavuot Zakeh, but the Pesach Tshuva quotes, that's mutter b'dieved. He says, don't worry, you can take it to the bank, that you don't have to worry about anything that's going to happen to you. Again, lechatzchil, you shouldn't put it under the bed, but if Rabbi Kivager promised you that b'dieved it's mutter, that's good enough for us. Let's just conclude with one more halacha. I'll try and go through it quickly so we can finish. The Gemara, another fascinating Gemara which many of us are familiar with, and Nidza, the Gemara says, Rav Shimon bar Yochai teaches us there are five things which if a person eats, damai b'roishai, this is the most severe lasha we've seen so far. Before we start off that, it's kashla shikha, you'll forget your learning, or we learned it was a ruach ra. Now we learn any of the five things you're going to eat, a person is like, it's committing suicide, so to speak, it's suicidal, like your blood is on your head, that you've caused your downfall. And the Gemara goes through different halachas of eating peeled garlic or peeled eggs or peeled onions or drinking or wine that was already diluted, that was left overnight. And the Gemara goes through other examples. I'm not going to go focus on all that might this minute. But the Gemara says, in the name of Shem Bayichai, all these things are dangerous. This Gemara is quoted in the Sefer Lekutei Halacha, source 20, which is written by the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim went through Shas and any Gemaras which the Rif didn't write around, which was primarily the Kachin Gemaras and any Gemaras of Tumah Tahara, he compiled a compendium of halachas from the Gemara, and he writes over there, which I just quoted on the bottom, and I'll go through the whole thing, but he says, Le'matzasi zeh b'Rambam, even though I did not find this source in the Rambam's halacha, I mean this halacha, again, is not quoted by the Rambam, nonetheless, the Chafetz Chaim writes, we have to be careful with eating these eggs, onions or garlic that was peeled and left overnight. I didn't have a chance to speak out, but the Gemara goes through, that's only if the peel is completely off. But if any part of the peel or the roots are still attached, then this halacha does not apply. It's not dangerous. Now, why is it dangerous? I can't tell you the why. I'm just telling you what
about,
it says.
You're talking about broken, open...
Open, unpeeled open eggs, garlic, and onions. Okay, now, this halacha...
If it's covered, would that make a difference?
Covered doesn't make a difference.
It has to be overnight.
Overnight. You peeled it and then left it overnight. Now, this halacha...
Open or the refrigerator?
The refrigerator, according to Moscow, doesn't make a difference. That's considered like open for this halacha. For other halachas, that might make a difference. For this, doesn't make a difference. This halacha, again, although the Rambam doesn't quote it, and the Shulchan Aruch does not quote this halacha, nonetheless, the Chafetz Chaim is of the opinion that we must be machmer on it. However, the Aruch HaShulchan as well, I'm sorry, in 21, the Aruch HaShulchan as well, although he usually quotes the Shulchan Aruch over here, he quotes his halacha straight from the Gemara without telling us that the Shulchan doesn't quote it. So therefore, he also seems to be of the opinion that we need to be machmer to the utmost on this halacha. That's source 21. In 22, there is one Rishon who I found quoted that discusses this Gemara, and already in his day, in the times of Rishonim, they seem to have been lax in this Gemara, and that's the Mordechai in the back of Masech, the Shabbos, in source 22. He was asked, why is it that I see many people are eating peeled eggs that were left overnight? Why aren't we chayshish for the ruach ra? Why aren't we chayshish for this evil spirit, this danger that's on the food? So first he writes...
Not ruach ra, you're talking about...
That, right. He calls it ruach ra, but you're right. The Gemara had a more stronger expression. In the second line there, he writes, the dilma l'shchiach beinenu. Maybe this concern doesn't exist anymore amongst us. Maybe for some reason, this sakana has disappeared. I don't know why, but that's one suggestion. Or he says, another interesting idea, that kisvei hakodesh aleihem matzilon, the holy writings that are on these peeled eggs protect them. What's he referring to? He's referring to if anybody's had the schus to be by Yari Upsharon, and you've seen that Rabbi Yari writes on the eggs these various psukim from Pasuk in Yeshaya and other things. Well, the way Rabbi Yari does, he writes it on the peel and then breaks the peel. But some people have the custom to write it on the actual egg, on the egg white itself, after you peel the egg. And if you have that type of egg, then you don't have to worry about anything evil happening to it because the psukim on the egg will protect it. But most of the time, we don't have, at least I don't have eggs that have psukim written on them. That wouldn't help us. But at least we see some of the Rishonim are discussing this idea that maybe this halacha is not as severe anymore. In a similar, there's a famous tshuva from Moshe Feinstein, which I didn't quote, but I did quote from a sefer Maseres Moshe in source 23, which is the notes of a Mordechai Tendler of his diary of Think People that came to Rav Moshe. And there he writes that there was a certain Hasidish Rebbe who was friendly with Rav Moshe and came to visit Rav Moshe Feinstein once from Eretz Yisrael, and he started discussing with Rav Moshe the halacha, this halacha of peeled eggs left overnight. And he said that what pshat that many of the bakeries and other commercial places that use what's liquid eggs or other peeled eggs that they peel by the hundreds or by the thousands and leave them overnight and they use it for mass production. How come we're not machmir? Hold on. So Rav Moshe Feinstein told him in the second paragraph of Heshev Rabbeinu, Rav Moshe Feinstein responded, Shebinyanim Elu, and these ideas, Shaloi Muvan Lanu Hametzias, Lam Misakana, we don't understand why they are Sakana. Ein Lacha Boy Ela Chidusha, we only have what exactly Chazal told us. V'chol Shinoi Shanase, any slight modification. It's enough of a reason to now make it mutter. And therefore he says, in these eggs, since the Shina Gadol was made with them, because they're made by the thousands in such a way with preservatives that they're meant to stand for a long time, therefore Moshe Feinstein held it was permissible. This is also written in the Igros Moshe as well. As far as I know, most of the kashrus agencies today rely on this psak from Moshe. The OU for sure does. I think others as well. Anytime we buy any bakery product, that from a commercial bakery, for sure, they're going to have used liquid eggs. They're not breaking thousands of eggs. And that's all we long on this idea of Rav Moshe, that since there was some slight modification made, preservatives were added, it was produced in a mass way, it's not going to have this concern. But you do see, though, from this tshuva of Rav Moshe, that if it wasn't made like this, if just the regular person or situation in his house, to crack an egg or to have a cooked egg, a hard-boiled egg, and peel it overnight, it would be a concern. However, the Pais can do bring down. We're just going to conclude with this. The Kaf HaChaim writes, and it's not only him, but many of the Pais can say this as well. Anytime you mix the egg or the onion and the garlic with other items, you make it part of a salad, you add some salt to it, you add some oil to it, whatever you're going to do, you're making it into a dish, that's not a concern. It's only when it's independent by itself, the egg is whole by itself, or the olive, not the olive, the garlic, or the onion is whole by itself, then it's going to be a concern. Anytime it's mixed with other things, again, it'll be permissible. I saw also the name of Rabelski as well in his tshuva. He writes about this, similar to what he wrote before about Rabbi Kiveger, that once Rav Moshe Feinstein paskin that's mutter, you don't have to worry about the mazikim coming and harming us. He brings the Gemara in Pesachim that the mazikim listen to Tamid HaChamim, and he says, all the more so, they're going to listen to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and therefore, if Rav Moshe Feinstein told us that it's mutter, ain lahar acharov, and therefore you can enjoy it in a way that the way Rav Moshe said it's going to be mutter.
Same thing on the
Yeah, if it's...